broadcasting from the Unshackled Studios in Melbourne. This is Wilmsfront, brought to you by theunshackled.net. Now here's Tim Wilms.
Hello everyone and welcome to tonight's show. The date is Wednesday, the 29th of April 2020. Happy Captain Cook Day. It's been 250 years since the Endeavour ship landed at Botany Bay. It is 7 p.m. here in Melbourne. We are live on the show YouTube and DLive channel and also broadcasting through Entropy. I've provided the link in the YouTube live chat, so if you want to ask a question to myself or my guest for tonight, the link is there. So we've seen Australia's coronavirus curve flatten, which was the justification for us going into a level 3 lockdown. So we've held up our end of the bargain, but of course our politicians don't want to give up absolute power and are now saying that they cannot set us free unless we download the COVID safe app, which will trace the source of outbreaks of the coronavirus, and they want new daily infections to reach zero. And of course, no state premier is wielding this new absolute power with more zeal than Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews, while other states are now allowing its residents to hold small social gatherings. Dan Andrews is keeping Victorians under house arrest until at least May 11th, when his state of emergency powers expire. We are only allowed to leave the house for reasons he and his Victoria Police Force deem essential and are a reasonable excuse. Dan's justification for this is somebody might die if we're allowed to play golf or engage in any type of social or recreational activity outside the house. Stay in your homes or you will die and kill others, has been his message. The reason Daniel Andrews has been able to get away with this is thanks to the Victorian public on the whole complying with their house arrest, and of course thousands of calls to the state's snitch hotline if they believe that their neighbours are breaching social distancing. It has allowed Victoria Police to be national leaders in issuing $1,600 penalty infringement notices to those they deem to be breaking the statewide lockdown. Dan has around about a 75% approval rating for his handling of the pandemic and the lockdown enforcement, so he in no way feels pressured to relax the lockdown. Some of the fines that have been issued by Victoria Police, such as a tradie washing his car after a hard day's work and a couple fined for posting old holiday photos to Facebook, those were quickly withdrawn given the lunacy and abuse of the discretionary power they involve. Not surprisingly, with the new coronavirus daily infections now in their teens, various members of the public are rightly demanding an end to the lockdown and that we enter the economic recovery phase, allowing people to go back to work and reopen their businesses. Over the past week, we have seen two instances of public disobedience against the continued lockdown. There was a public Anzac Day service in the West Gippsland town of Trafalgar, attended by around 60 people, and also police and health authorities have also attempted to shut down an MMA training centre in Cranbourne in Melbourne's southeast and fine the operator. Victoria Police first visited the MMA facility last Wednesday and had the health department reinforcements with them when they came back on Friday. Both times they failed to enter the premises, being kept at bay by the operator of the MMA centre, Nick Banjo Patterson. He is my featured guest on tonight's Wilmsfront. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Now, you've uploaded these two encounters as well as basically a vlog from inside your training center, which shows the dangerous activity that you and your patrons are in engaging in there. That's been uploaded to the Solutions Empowerment Vimeo channel. I'm glad that you didn't use YouTube for it, because we know that YouTube have pledged to crack down on people going against World Health Organization advice, and I'm not sure what even the advice is at the moment. They've declared it a pandemic.
Yeah, just it seems as though they don't know what they don't know what they're what to tell us, whether it's this or it's that. They don't know what their even if they know what their agenda is. They tell us one thing and then they tell us something else. They take things down if it goes against some their standards. The issue really at hand is that the directives from the UN don't trump our laws. We have laws, we have rights, and who's the UN anyway? It's not, we didn't elect the UN. Who are they, and why are they sending people around to collect money, our place to collect money for them? I don't believe that we're meant to pay them anything. And if you look in the law, there's nothing in there. There's no provisions in there that allow the government to do that.
Now, you've been interviewed on 7 News. There was also a write-up in the Daily Mail because your confrontations with the Victoria Police and the department from the State Department of Health and Human Services, the men in their suits, they came around on the Friday night, which was Anzac Day leave. Let's have a look at this short. Short highlights package of you dealing with them.
This is Wilms Front, brought to you by the Unshackled.net.
Here we are in an ordinary Melbourne suburb on an ordinary weekday night. People exercising their right of association. People exercising their right of freedom to movement.
You have sworn an oath to the de jure Crown, the de jure Crown. You've sworn an oath to her.
Just try and maintain 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, well, you came into my space. What I do in my property.
To me. Look, I'll just start again. Okay, the reason we're here is because we've had a report that there's a mass gathering here. Okay,
a mass gathering. No, it's not.
You guys go back to doing what you're meant to do and stop harassing people and feeding their families.
We've
oh, that's fine, but it's not valid. It's not valid. And see all these case law precedents?
Do you guys feel good about doing this?
Okay. No, actually, I don't.
No, then don't do it. Where's your morality? Why do you do it then? Yeah, well, so does he. So he's got a job to do. Why can't he do his job? Huh? Where were you when all the big African crime gangs were around? You weren't arresting them, were you? Pathetic.
Guru versus State of New South Wales.
Gotta tell my son that the police are the bad guys now, huh?
1984. Notice to agent, notice the principal. Yes, you do not come into my property again. And we've noticed you, so we've also noticed the DHS. Okay?
Obviously, you'll be reported to DHS. Agent.
You guys are amazing. Well done, chaps. Hey, how many arrests have you made this week, boys? Arresting people. There's no one sick. You guys know that. You're out harassing people doing their job, just living their normal life. I'm talking to you.
But we're not going to relinquish our rights for a bit of security that we don't even know exists.
Exactly. Where's the proof that this virus even exists, guys?
I don't trust the government. I don't trust the media. Okay, and I haven't seen anyone with this. And there's contradicting information on both sides.
Like I said, this will be reported to the NHS and they'll be the ones to make it.
Oh, you're amazing, mate. Well done.
Well, late, that's fine.
Yeah, good.
It'll be reported to them and they'll make the phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you. Victorian police, everyone. This is what they're up to. Lovely guys. Tell your kids to grow up and be a police officer. Hey, amazing. Good work, chaps. Nowhere to be seen when the African crimes were around, but here they are. Well done, boys, yeah? Pathetic.
Don't know anything about it. Don't know anything about it. Don't know anything about it. Go talk to him. Don't know anything about it. There's no gym here.
We can wait, that's fine.
Yeah, good. Go talk to him. Don't talk to me.
Okay, it's a directive. It's not a law. It does not trump our human rights. It doesn't trump your So you're saying, so let me get this straight. Are you saying that your directives trump our human rights?
I'm saying that the directives from the Victorian government.
Yeah.
Prohibits any personal fitness, personal recreation facilities.
I'm not a person, I'm a man. I'm a man, I'm not a person.
The police believe that the gym is operating.
You said a person, though. I'm not a person. I've told you that. A person is a corporate entity, a trust, a trustee in bankruptcy. Just look at the legal dictionary. That's what it is, though. So
we believe that there's a mixed martial arts facility operating at the moment.
Well, I believe in good faith that you're mistaken, okay. and the Department of Health and Human Services, what's the department? That's right, yeah. Okay. My understanding is that's a private company, and it's actually under the UN, and you're directed from the UN. It's not, and it's a directive, it's not a law. Okay?
Okay, it's a directive that can be enforced by an authorised officer, and it's a court.
But it's in breach of the law. So effectively, you're breaking the law.
Yeah. Well, that's your interpretation. If you think that you can fight the infringements in court later on, what I'm trying to do.
I do not consent to these proceedings, okay? I'm not going to give you my name because it's mine. It belongs to me. It's my property. I don't have to give it to you. My name is my property.
So you guys, you're not going to create
a contract with me. I'm not giving a contract with you. Okay. I don't have to.
It's not a problem. You receive a ticket.
So you're spending the night here?
Don't answer any questions.
He's exercising his right to
silence.
Yeah,
right to silence. Human rights. Thank you.
Bye bye, officers. There is people selling drugs. There is people that have
rapists, murderers.
There's rapists, murderers.
Pedophiles.
There's a lot of pedophiles in the government too, and I can get you some information on those sides. Possibly in the Department of whatever department you come from. So maybe go and get the pedophiles from the government, and when you go and do that, I'll be supporting 100%.
This is Wilms Front, brought to you by theunshackled.net.
So as our audience saw in those two videos, all you basically had to do was stand your ground and assert your rights, and they left. And I found it weird that the second time round, I thought, because I saw the initial one on the Wednesday night, and I wondered, are they going to come back with a full SWAT team on the Friday? And they brought, you could see him in the video, that bureaucrat with the suit, he had the long grey beard and the glasses. That sort of, how was that supposed to convince you?
Interesting too is he showed me his ID, and we've been looking at the provisions for the ID for the authorised officers that are under that Act. Public Health and Wellbeing Act, and his ID didn't have a photo on there. I didn't check if it was signed by Kim Peake, but it didn't have a photo on there, which it has to have. Technically, you could arrest him for impersonating an authorised officer because he didn't have the correct ID. So there's a lot of things. There's so many things. If you just go looking for it, you'll find that a lot of what the police and the government, so-called government bodies are doing is not valid at all. They're not following the rules, yet they tell us they are, and they expect us to just do what they say.
And that last encounter that you had, that was dated 24th of April, last Friday. Have you heard anything from the police or the Department of Human Health and Services?
No, we haven't, and we're still operating our gym. No,
they haven't even issued you with a fine in the mail?
No, nothing. No fine. No one there's received a fine either. They did harass the people leaving on that particular day, the Friday. They'd also blocked off the whole the street on there's three roads to drive into where our gym is, and they blocked them off. The police had done like a blockade there. And then everyone that came out of our gym, they were giving them fines. But that's what I thought, they were giving them fines. And I found out just yesterday that they weren't fines. They were giving them official warnings. And I haven't received the fine. You know, the people reporting haven't received a fine. We haven't received one in the mail. So I think a lot of it's just bluff. And it looks that way because they threatened to arrest me multiple times in that second encounter, and they kept making the claim that I had committed an offence, but they couldn't tell me what the actual offence was or what law I'd broken. So it was more of a bluff. And I would think that if 20, because it was actually 22 police, one of the guys that was there behind the fence, there was two other people there behind the fence. One of them said he counted 22 police. So there's probably about...
Were they practicing social distancing, in your opinion, the 1.5 meters?
Definitely not practicing social distancing. And that would have just been to intimidate me. You know, I mean, no, there's no reason to have that many police from three different police stations turn up to your place. It was only five of us that were training at the gym on that Friday. You always have a very quiet Friday. And it's quiet anyway because most of my membership's gone because these regulations have been brought in. So it's made our livelihood very hard. I have four kids, a wife, and it's very hard to take care of them all now that I can't make a living.
So this is your livelihood? This is your sole employment?
Yeah, it is.
And so you're one of those business operators who is doing it really tough. And there's been a lot of talk about job keeper and job seeker for individuals. Have you looked at what is available for small business? Because that really hasn't had much attention in. I know that you don't watch mainstream media, but have you looked that up?
No, look, I went and applied for it because I have to. I don't have a choice. But I haven't received any money. I applied for that about a month ago.
For which payment?
I can't remember. My wife was, she's more savvy with those sorts of things. So, but we applied with Zimbabwe because I have to get some money because I've got all these kids and they've it's not that they've shut me down. It's that people are scared to come in to the gym and train because they're scared of being fined. And there's probably some that are scared of getting this disease. But most of the people aren't scared of that. They're scared of actually the fines. They don't want to get fined by the by the police. So, you know, I can't, even if I'm continuing operating, I cannot make enough money to sustain myself because of the actions of the government. So I did apply, but I haven't received any money from the government. Nothing. And it's been about a month now. So it's, you know, if the government's actions have caused you to be at a loss, they're liable for it. And they hold the liability. Just like if I did something and my actions caused you to be at a loss, I'd be liable for that loss. You know, they're not exempt. It's one rule for all. You know, so there's a maximum of law that says, we're one law. It's basically summed up one law for all. We're all under the same law. So, you know, if they can do that to me, they could bear the liability. But I can't get them to be liable because they're not paying me anything either. So I hope I get something. And it will probably take me about 6 months, I reckon, to get my business back to where it was. Because a lot of people, you know, this has put people in shock and fear because people, they're scared of diseases now, like, you know, in a way that they probably weren't before. Or the people that maybe just won't come back because, you know what, they've had this time off, they're doing other things now. And with the fitness industry or, you know, when people stop, it's hard to get the momentum back up. It's hard to push that momentum back. But when you're training regularly, it's easier to keep you going. It's harder to get people started again. So it's going to take a long time again to get me back to where I was.
Yeah, you're right about that routine. It's the same with exercise and also a work routine as well. It's very hard to get back into it. And it's even though we're told we are on the road to recovery, things aren't just going to go back to normal like that. People's behaviours are going to be changed significantly into the future. And you made the conscious decision to still have still be open, albeit you had less clients. You would have factored in that the authorities would come after you eventually, and you would have had to plan a response. And from those two police officers who turned up on the Wednesday night, they said, "We've had a report of a mass gathering," which sounded like there was maybe somebody rang the snitch hotline.
I assume that's what's happened. I mean, who knows who it is? We have buses that drive past all the time. We have people in the area. It's a light commercial area, so there's a lot of traffic through there. I don't know who it is. It might be the same person two occasions. I don't know. But I mean, the fundamental issue for me in staying open was that I've lost all of my livelihood for the most part. I'm not going to give up my rights as well. I won't relinquish those as well just because somebody said so, because I know it's wrong what they're doing. You know, if there was, I haven't seen the evidence. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I don't know if it exists. It might exist, it might not, but I haven't seen any evidence that compels me to just destroy my livelihood and give away all of my rights, especially when I know that the people that are trying to take away my rights don't actually have legitimate power to do so. And that video shows that they don't have legitimate power to do so, because they kept threatening and bluffing that they were going to arrest me, they were going to break through, they were going to give me fines, and they haven't done any of those things.
Well, their authority ultimately comes down to what authority the people give them, and as I said in my introduction, Daniel Andrews is able to wield this power because he's got the overwhelming majority of people complying with the lockdown, still afraid of this virus, and as I mentioned, they're getting plenty of calls to the snitch hotline, and the health minister Jenny Mikovits, I can never pronounce her name properly, in a daily briefing she announces the new penalty infringement notices, PINs. I would like to know, because they've been issuing these fines, whether anyone's actually paid, because I definitely do know that some who've been issued with it will contest them, and if one is thrown out of court, then all of them could be.
That would be, you could set a precedent as well. And the people that are collecting the money for these fines, they're a body corporate anyway. The Department of Health and Human Services is a body corporate. It's not actually government. And that's another issue. It's a separate issue. That's another issue. So they're collecting money, and where's it going? Do we know where it's going? Is it legitimate? Do they have legitimate power to collect that money? I don't believe so, and I can't see any evidence. And I've got a fair few friends that are very very knowledgeable when it comes to the law. They read case law, they read through the acts, and they cannot find anything that gives them any direct line of authority from our constitution.
Now, you uploaded these encounters online. You wanted to make your stand public, and as I said, it's the footage is I know it's a cliche gone viral online. You're contacted by media, including myself. What has been the community and online response to your civil disobedience? Because obviously you would have received a lot of correspondence back.
I have had very little negative correspondence. It's nearly all been positive. I think the way, because it's very much like communism, what we're seeing. You know, you've got the snitch line, you've got these orders, and if the government got special powers now. It's all for your own safety, right? And they use fear, right? They're motivated by fear. They want everyone to be scared. But this is, well, it's just, it's, I'm not happy with the way it's going, this communist direction. I don't like it anyway. So I would have fought it anyway, even if I didn't know that what the law actually said. But you know, we just need more people to learn what their rights are. That's I think the biggest issue we have is the people. The power is given to the government from the people. That's where it comes from. They don't have extra power. They never have, and they think they have, or they claim to. When you can invalidate their claim by providing the evidence that they don't, and the evidence is there. It's not that hard to find. There's lots of resources for that, you know. And obviously, you know, we're talking before this about a resource that I'm actively involved with, and you can just get online and read through the acts, and if you read through the acts, you will find things that don't add up. So they're taking powers they don't have, and plus, you know, like I don't believe that this virus is what they tell us it is. It doesn't make sense. You see in a newspaper from the UK, you know, it'll say a 13-year-old boy, and they'll have a name for him, died of coronavirus. And you see the exact same photo in a Portuguese magazine, you know, saying, but he was 14, and it's a different name, and it's the same photo, it's the same kid. And you see this all over. There's so many examples of this going around. The figures don't add up. The decision making that our leaders, I don't even want to call them leaders, because I don't think they're leading us very well. I think it needs to be honourable and equitable to be the leader, and that's not what they're doing at the moment. And I'm not saying that everyone in the government's bad. There's good people in the government, but there seems to be a lot of power in the hands of just a small group, and we're all getting told, you know, what we can and can't do. You can't go for walks, you know, if at this time, you know, with this many people, can't go fishing. I mean, what's with that? I mean, all you got to do is look at it and go, this doesn't make sense. I was in the supermarket yesterday, and the lady, she almost yelled at me. And this is the first time in the supermarket. I go to the supermarket every day, do my daily shop, and usually they're very nice. You know, no one's, but this time this lady, you know, I must have been going through the wrong direction, and the, you know, it's all taped up now.
Was this another customer or one of the employees?
No, it was the lady that worked in there. And she goes, no, you can't go down there because of the social distancing. And I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous. Well, you think that's going to make a difference? You think that's going to cause, if I don't do that, follow these ridiculous procedures, that we're all going to die? I don't see any evidence that that's true. I don't believe it's true. I believe it's a big lie in the pit of hell, and they're using it to get as much power as they can. And I think that that's what the agenda is. Now, is there a disease? It probably is. I don't know, but I haven't seen it. But what I have seen is the government going around sending body corporates that claim to be government, sending the police, our police, to go and collect, to give fines to people for not following procedures that they're allowed to follow, and not doing things that they're allowed to do. So how can they give you fines for doing what's basically within your human rights to do based on a directive from the UN? Who's the UN? They don't have any power over it.
Well, international law, in my opinion, is bullshit. Only sovereign nations have the consent of their people, and certainly the Australian people have never consented to delegate their authority to the UN.
And that's what a statute is. A statute's a law that requires your consent. Always, a statute's acts always require consent. So when they claim that their authority is higher, and it's not even a law, it's a directive. What's a directive? And if you look at the Public Health and Wellbeing Act, all of their actions all of their directives require your consent. It actually says it in the act. But you know, I spoke to one of the DHHS workers, and he didn't tell me that. He didn't give me full disclosure. Now you tell me, was that honourable of him to not give me full disclosure? And trying to make me believe that he actually had power. Well, we called his bluff, and he was proven to be a liar.
Well, he probably wasn't expecting you to respond. As I mentioned, they're just expecting that people are going to be compliant. And in terms of the coronavirus disease itself, it was your mate with the husky voice who said, "Where's the proof that this virus?" Even exists. We know that you mentioned the same.
That was you, my mate over there.
The photo of the 13-year-old boy that died from coronavirus, he's been given multiple identities and nationalities. We know from the official statistics that the Australian government has put out that only one person under 50 has died. Our death toll, national death toll at the moment is 89. We had 13 new cases today. We've heard of those stories overseas of young people getting it, and they've even filmed vlogs how much they're suffering and told that it's going to ruin your lungs and your insides for the rest of your life, kind of like it's AIDS or something. But as we've seen with the high profile cases, they've had mild symptoms, and when there's 13 new cases in the nation, and we were told that we're doing this to flatten the curve, and we've seen mission creep. No, we want to eliminate it, have zero infections there, and we can't set you free until this is probably a dumb question. You haven't downloaded the app, have you?
No, I don't know where the incentive is for anyone to download the app. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's they said, Scott Morrison said today, he said it's like putting on sunscreen. Does putting on sunscreen, does it connect your Bluetooth to other people on the beach? I thought that was a weird analogy there, because they say that it's, you don't even have to register your name or the data stored on your phone, but of course we've all heard that before.
Well, yeah, like, you know, are you going to trust them? I don't trust the government, you know, and it's not because that, you know, I think everyone, you know, they're all liars, but we know that every time there's a political campaign, there's all these promises and they don't deliver, and they say things all the time. There's so, you know, and then years later, often things will be exposed about government officials. And so I don't trust them. And you know, I don't trust the media for the most part. Now, am I saying that all media, everyone always, the media is lying? No, but there are agendas, and this is an amazing agenda for anyone that wanted to have any government to have lots of power over the people. This is perfect for them, because they can implement all these different rules. Sorry about all that noise. That's my kids. I've got four kids and they're all very young, and you can hear them in the background.
That's normal in this Zoom interviews from home age there. It's even happened on Sky News and all the big media platforms. The kids have just come in.
Yeah. Well, they know the boundaries, but they forget when their friends are over. So, but the, yeah, I mean, it's the perfect lie, I think, to be able to get the governments to take a whole lot of power, and I'm absolutely shocked at how many people are willingly just giving away their rights and are actually, you know, telling people that, you know, you need to do this, you need to follow the social distancing, you know, only essential workers, all these new terms that they're coming up with. You know, this is very quick, and I think what's happened is a lot of people have woken up and seen through it, and they realize that this doesn't make sense. If you just stop and think about it for a minute, it doesn't add up and it doesn't make any sense. The rationale to social distancing and why you know, Bunnings should be open, but then all the small businesses can't be, Kmart can be open, and all these other things, but if you've got a small business or you're a place of worship, or you've got a community group where you actually, they're all friends and they communicate together, why are they all being shut down? You know, if it was really about you know, some disease, we would see the reality of it and we would do it ourselves, because the power should be in the hands of the people. And if two people go out and they, say three, and they meet up and they have some social time, how is that going to cause the whole world to be destroyed by some disease that we haven't seen? Well, and that's why I'm not going to follow it and believe it, because it's taken 90% of my livelihood, and then just go, oh, that's just how I can't. My brain is telling me that's not right. It's not right. I can't do that.
Well, Daniel Andrews, he had what lasted 6 hours. It was termed the bonking ban, where the state banned intimate partners who didn't live together from seeing each other. He said, oh, is that really worth a life? That's not care. Oh. And of course, backtracked 6 hours later. And Daniel Andrews has said, I'm not going to consider lifting any restrictions, even though New South Wales, Queensland, New South Wales is allowing two people to come over to your house for a social visit. Western Australia is allowing 10, but we're all still under house arrest here. And it's certainly not an exaggeration to say that Daniel Andrews seems to be relishing this absolute control he is having to everybody, and people are giving it to him, and he hasn't guaranteed that he's going to end the state of emergency. He's just said, oh, May 11 is when the next decision to be made, and it sounds like it's going to take people such as you, and we saw the residents of Trafalgar to, and we've seen this over in the United States, the protests against lockdown. We've seen none of it here in Australia, which it shows what sheeple we are. It's up to 2.8 million who've downloaded the app.
Isn't that shocking? Mm. Isn't that shocking that many people have downloaded that app?
And so it seems like that we're only going to get our rights and freedoms back fully unless we demand it. It's not just going to be given voluntarily to us. You've got four children. I'm not sure if they go to a school, but Victoria is the last holdout state of sending children back to school, even though the chief medical officer has said the risk is very low.
Who's the chief medical officer now? Is that Jill Hennessy?
The state health minister. So there's the the state health minister is that Jenny Mikovits, it's that Greek name, and the chief medical officer, who's not a politician, who's a bureaucrat, is Dr. Brett Sutton. The Victorian government say, oh, we're not going to contradict the health advice, even though the Commonwealth chief medical officer, Professor Brenda Murphy, has said there's low risk, and that advice hasn't changed. And so apparently in Victoria, the state government, they know they have superior medical advice to the rest of the nation here, and it certainly seems like, I mean, how are you dealing with four children? Are they going to school? What's the situation like?
Well, I homeschool my kids, and I have been for a while, ever since I just. My wife and I sat down and made a decision about it. We were in a situation where we were able to do that because we worked from home at a gym because we lived above the gym. And, you know, we actually get a lot of joy out of it. So it hasn't really impacted us in that way. But I do think that our government thinks we're stupid. I think they think we're, you know, we are dumb sheep to think that we're just going to, you know, that, what did you call it? The bonking rule.
Bonking ban.
Bonking ban. You know, I didn't even hear about that.
Because it lasted 6 hours before it was reversed.
You know, like they think that we are just, they rule over us. They don't rule over us. Okay. They get power to govern from us. We give them the power. Okay, and that's why, and you know, and as a Christian man, I'm going to say this: he that's great is the greatest servant, and not the other way around. You know, the greatest one doesn't sit at the top and then make everyone else do the work for him. No, the greatest people are the ones that serve the people, and they're not serving the people; they're serving their own pockets. And we know that they're always, you know, caught out. There's always politicians scandals about them, you know, being paid money, you know, from here or there, or lying about things, and you know, making the claim here that we're all for this, but then they end up going and voting against it. And so, you know, I don't trust them, and I think the people, we've got to come together, and we've got to focus our minds on what our rights are, learn them. You don't have to know all of them. Just learn them. Read the Constitution and work out where the powers come from and how much power they have, what the parameters of the parameters are for government. So that we know that when they start to do things this year, you can know straight away, no, that's not accurate. You don't have power given to you from us to be able to put us in basically home arrest. You don't have the power. And they say it's a state of emergency. There is nothing. There is some provisions for that, but it doesn't allow them to do what they're doing now. And I just would like to see more people learn those things and stand up and not back down. Don't be scared by the bluffs, because it's a bluff. It was completely a bluff both times they came and harassed me at my gym. And we want our police to be. There's a lot of good police. I know some really good police officers. They're good blokes, and they want to get robbers. You know, they want to do the proper police work. They want to also use their discretion, and they're not able to use their discretion anymore. They're just sent out just like a cog in a piece of machinery, rather than looking at it and thinking, no, that's not right, or this is right, I'll let him go. Just don't do that now.
Well, your friend mentioned, sorry, mate. Yeah, he mentioned the African gangs. Why don't to the police officers? Why don't you go and fight the African gangs? That is much harder police work, and finding a coward public if they're out of the house with a valid excuse is easy policing. But the African gangs were conducting violent home invasions and carjackings. That's hard work, and as they found out, dealing with you was harder work than they were expecting.
Well, I had my backup. I had Ryan over here. He was backing me up. He was we're in the middle of a hard wrestling round, and that's why he was breathing so heavy in the first video. But it's because we have a group of us that learn law, and we talk about law, and we discuss law all the time at our gym. Because you know, like part of what we do is self-defense. You also need to know what your rights are, know what the law says that you can defend yourself, defend your rights. So it's really very close to what we do as far as martial arts at our gym, learning the law. It's how to defend yourself and defend your rights. But there is gang problems. There is drug problems. There's huge pedophile problems in the government. There's huge pedophile problems just in general. And child abuse. So all of this is going on, and yet there's 22 police at my place over five of us doing some training. It's overkill. It's not right. It's not the way it should be. And anyone can just look at it and say, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not honest. It's not honourable. That's not true.
And obviously you've been extremely defiant to date. How far are you willing to, if they keep going after you, are you going to match them every step of the way? And are you scared that they might, as we've seen over in the US, Waco U, which refers to the 1994 standoff with this Christian religious cult and the ATF and the FBI, where it led to the death of all these people. Obviously, that's quite an extreme example, but it shows what the state is capable of. So,
I definitely hope that doesn't happen, and I would use some discretion if they were going to Waco me. I'm not part of a crazy religious cult in any way, though. So I'm assuming that's not going to happen. I haven't thought about that. Maybe I should, but I definitely am. I'm not going to back down until they provide some evidence that they have legitimate jurisdiction to impose these regulations on me and to destroy my business and my livelihood. If they can provide some legitimate evidence that they have those powers from the Constitution, I am absolutely confident they do not. And that's why I didn't back down. And they backed down both times because they don't have the jurisdiction. So I don't, you know, whatever happens, I will just have faith that the ones that are right will be the last ones standing. And, you know, hopefully they just leave me alone. and leave others alone. And start, and especially the police, start doing their job. We need police to do a good job. We want the police the way they were when they did. They had their discretion and were able to actually be peace officers, which is what they're meant to do, is to keep the peace, not to enforce orders and policies from foreign powers, which is what's happening now.
And the group, rights group that you're a part of, Solutions in Empowerment.
Empowerment, yes.
Yeah. It's got a website, solutionsempowerment.com, where anyone can join. And it's got you've got an email list there and a membership package. And you've also got a online community that's through, I think it's using the same software that Champions of Light .com uses there for different discussion groups for people to share their research and experiences.
Yeah, a lot of great information there. If you get onto that website, there's all sorts of really clear, direct information. You don't have to read piles and piles of books. It's all there, summarized very, very neatly. And there's lots of templates and how to use templates to be able to create letters and demand letters if you need to, and letters of non-consent, cease and desist. There's notices there that you can put up on your property, and what the rules are for trespass and among other things.
And I'll also provide a link to the Vimeo channel as well, so people can watch those videos in full. And it's also got your full interview with Channel 7's Paul Dowsley as well, that aired on Sunday night. Well, I think it's a simplification to say that you've got guts. You've certainly taken a brave and courageous stand, and if more people speak up, then we will get out of this lockdown with the coronavirus curve continuing to be, as I've said, flat as a pancake. We need to open up again. They were just talking today about Australia's mental health epidemic because of the lockdown. You know how you cure that? Open everything up.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
All right. Take care, Nick, and all the best.
Thanks a lot, mate. I really appreciate it.
And if I ever need some training or just want to get fit, I know where to go.
Absolutely. Really appreciate it. Great work. Love your channel. It's really good.
Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.
Good night.
This is Will's Front, brought to you by theunshackled.net.
And that concludes the featured interview for tonight. And as I mentioned, we've only had two examples in Victoria of civil disobedience, not those mass protests we've seen in the United States. As I said, let's just have a look at the coronavirus curve, the government's official statistics here. I'll just refresh the page here. So there have been 6,738 confirmed cases in Australia. Oh, it's got here 88 have died. And look, we've had 5,649 have reported as recovered. So we've nearly got less than 1,000 active cases in Australia there, and 13 cases since 6 a.m. yesterday. And look at that curve there. That is basically, there was a little bit of a jump on the weekend, or the mainstream media say, oh, massive spike there. And Scott Morrison himself, here he is. Scott Morrison urges all Australians to download COVID Safe app, says it's the ticket to easing restrictions. So all that you need to do is download this government app here. And he said, I've often compared it to bending the knee. Here we go. We don't just want to win the battle against COVID-19, but lose a broader conflict when it comes to the economy and functioning of our society. Yeah. No shit there. All right, so obviously got a bit of time left before Dia Beltran goes live at 8:30 p.m. with her featured weekly live stream with George Christensen, MP, LNP member for Dawson. So what I want to talk about in the second half of this show is that we're seeing, because the Australian government has rightfully called for an independent international investigation into the origins and initial outbreak of the coronavirus is in China, and the Chinese government has been extremely triggered by this, and obviously their card in the past that they played was the race card, where they said that during colonial times China's had a history of racism and oppression. We won't be knocked around anymore, because they know that there's plenty of anti-white racists in Australia who'll be apologists for every other race apart from the white race. And so they know that they have useful idiots in Western nations who'll spin their lines. And this is especially the case in the US mainstream media, where they want to blame Trump for the 50,000 US deaths from the coronavirus, when how did it get into the United States? It was born in China. I mean, that's pretty obvious here. And of course, we had the Chinese ambassador to Australia on Monday. He threatened that there would be a Chinese consumer boycott of Australian products, agriculture, education, tourism in response to the probe. And I know that the quiet Australians, as Scott Morrison has repeatedly said, their response was, "Ooh, you know, you're threatening us with that. We're sick of buying your cheap crap anymore. We don't care if you boycott us. We want to be rid of you." But of course, the reason why this type of threat has worked in the past, because the business and political class have placated them and saying, no, we still want to do business with you. Please, we'll be nice. But there's been quite a change in the Australian political class after the coronavirus pandemic, because what they feared if there was going to be a breakdown in the relationship with China is that our economy would be trashed. Well, our relationship with China, specifically the people movement, has led to the crashing of our economy and the entire Western economy. And Scott Morrison and his government, and also the Labor opposition, including their foreign affairs spokeswoman Penny Wong, have said that we support a proper independent assessment of what have occurred. It's not a remarkable position. It's a fairly common sense position, and one that we don't wrestle from. That's an excellent simplification there, that it's a perfectly reasonable request. It doesn't matter where the virus was born here. And China actually released details of the Ambassador Cheng's phone call with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade Secretary Frances Adamson, which is a major departure of diplomatic convention. DFAT expressed regret over the release. The Chinese embassy retaliated by accusing Australia of leaking details of the phone call first. Yeah, that's bullshit. The embassy of China does not play petty tricks. I mean, the Chinese Communist Party has a history of being petty. They get triggered by some witty cartoon or satire of them in national newspapers, and they have to retaliate. They're very sensitive and insecure. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton said the inquiry was not about China, but about arming scientists with tools sooner rather than later. If there is any information that is available would aid scientific endeavors and try and find a vaccine, then we want that information now. Attorney General Christian Porter said the opposition to a retire rule was irrational, illogical, and unreasonable. I think the Chinese ambassador response was largely emotional, generally speaking. Those types of emotional responses are relatively short-lived. Oh, that's a good burn there from Christian Porter. And Labor leader Anthony Albanese echoed the Prime Minister in downplaying the significance of the coronavirus inquiry. In regard to, I regard as completely unremarkable the idea that should be investigation into this. And Rex Patrick from the Centre Alliance, he's having a sixth strike at establishing a parliamentary inquiry into China when Parliament sits again next month in May. And he said, Rex Patrick, the ambassador revealed China's true diplomatic face and confirm concerns about China's preference for control and coercion rather than partnership. Since it is just me for the second half of the show, I'll do a bit of AMA on entropy. You can ask me anything. I've put the link in the description there, so you can ask a question or send through a super chat to support the show. Now we saw today, damn, this is behind a paywall. I'll try and get an article here, but we've had the CEO of Fortescue Metal mining billionaire Andrew Forrest today. He appeared at a press conference today with Health Minister Greg Hunt to announce that he had acquired 10 million coronavirus tests to Australia from China. And there's been a long history of the coronavirus test kits coming from China and other medical supplies being defective. Here we go here. Mining magnate Andrew Forrest secured 10 million COVID-19 tests for Australia, which the government will mean tests around the country multiply almost 20-fold by the end of the week there. So at the press conference today, with Forrest and Greg Hunt here, is that the Chinese Victorian Consular General Long Zhu, he appeared at this press conference alongside Andrew Forrest, and apparently, according to this is what's being reported, Greg Hunt had no idea that the Chinese Consular General was going to be at this press conference with Andrew Forrest. It was basically a foreign diplomat bombing this press conference, aided by an Australian mining billionaire. And doing that, Andrew Forrest, if that is the case, if he just brought along the Chinese consular general, that is, I would say, a pretty shoddy act on behalf of Australia to basically I would say ambush the health minister of Australia in that way. And Andrew Forrest has said that there should be no investigation into the origins of the coronavirus until after the United States presidential election in November. And well, you can guarantee by then that the Chinese government would have probably destroyed all the evidence and disappeared all the dissidents by then. That is a completely ludicrous proposal, but it does show concerningly where Andrew Forrest, the mining magnate, and obviously a lot of his metals are exported to China, that he is not willing to sacrifice his business relationship with China for the national interest there. And it was interesting, WA Premier Mark McGowan, who has almost made his state coronavirus free with the hard border closure. No Eastern state Australians are allowed in WA at the moment. They've always wanted to secede, the Western Australians, and Mark McGowan, who is a Labor Premier, sees the opportunity to do that de facto secession, and he's been rewarded with an 89% approval rating. Is almost like a Liberal Premier, given that he has fixed the state's finances from a Liberal national government there. He's in a strong position to be re-elected. An 89% approval rating for any leader is an extraordinary effort. And he was, would you describe it as he was heckled at a press conference he did in Rockington in WA, when a guy yelled out to you, "Hey, fucking love you, mate." It was a compliment. It was a heckling compliment, a profane one. And the Auslan translator behind him translated the profanity there. And so you see, that's quite unusual that a politician gets heckled with praise there. But he's in a sit-down interview, he said that he wants to continue to trade with China, that he doesn't want to review the relationship. And of course, we know that our premier in Victoria, Daniel Andrews, he has signed Victoria up to the Belt and Road Initiative. The state's Victorian state treasurer, Tim Pallas, has given praise to China over its handling there. So China certainly has friends in the Western Australian and Victorian state governments there, but certainly where the federal government, which does have the official diplomatic lines and obviously has their own security and intelligence agencies, would tell them a lot more about China than what we know and the state governments know, that there is certainly a lot to be worried about if nothing changes with China. And yeah, it didn't take much for China to start threatening our economic security, even just calling for just a basic inquiry. They've hit the roof over and got extremely triggered by it, which is quite incredible there. Now, we've talked mainly about the COVID Safe app this week. We're told we can, we'll all get to be free if we download the app. And I know that another thing that concerns this audience is the mandatory vaccinations. There is no vaccine for the coronavirus. However, there is the flu vaccination. It aims to protect you against the annual winter flu. And as I've repeatedly said on this show, we had a killer flu season last winter. I got the flu. David Hiscock from XYZ got the flu. Maddie Rose got the flu. Blair Cottrell got the flu. Neil Erickson got the flu. We're all knocked out for about 3 weeks. It was absolutely horrible. I basically became delirious with fever. It was that bad. It was the first flu that I'd had in 20 years since last century, when I was 10 years old. I got the flu. That was pretty horrible. I've never had a flu shot, and I only got the flu last year. I have no intention of getting the flu. No intention of getting the flu shot this year, because I got it last year. That's not on my priority list. But as I noticed that Anastasia Palaszczuk, to the Premier of Queensland, to promote the widespread take up of flu vaccinations this winter, she had herself filmed having a flu shot there. And there is a zoomed in clip going around where it's alleged that she faked the flu shot because the needle cap was on. Let's have a look at this.
Landers, like Premier, to get the jab.
Oh, that's amazing.
Risk. Perfect.
So can you see Queenslanders comes out there. It's fully intact there. So I'm not sure what you make of it there. I'll play it again for you because I'm not sure everyone saw it zoomed up here. So you can see he zooms in there, zooms in there. So it could have been doctored. The footage could have been reversed before she took the needle off the cap there, but. It's certainly she did this because she knows that that a lot of people in Australia they're hesitant to get an unnecessary vaccination there, and I don't know the veracity of this clip here, but it just shows you that a lot of people do believe that she faked it, and so there is a lot of animosity to non-essential vaccinations, period there. And certainly it should be a choice whether you're going to download the COVID-19 Safe app, and it also should be a choice whether you get an annual flu vaccination. Both choices should be respected. If you want to download the app, that's fine. That's your choice. If you want to get a flu shot, that's fine as well, but don't enforce that. Force it on the rest of us there. That would be that is my overall message when it comes to this. I'm certainly not going to go down the whole vaccine rabbit hole, but certainly I would say that non-essential vaccines should be an individual choice. All right, I think that's going to do me for tonight's show. Of course, I'll be back for regular Thursday nights Uncuckables with myself, David Hiscock, and James Fox Higgins, the editor of the XYZ. And of course, James Fox Higgins is the... Apparently, I just got a message from the Dusty Bogan. I got, what is it? More build up around the corner of my lips there. I know that Port Film Co-op was said that to me on a previous Wednesday show there. I think that's okay. But it's towards the end of the show there, so he was the only one that noticed it. I know that Port Film Co-op is in the chat. Just to be clear and on the record, I have banned him asking me or any Wilmsfront guest in Entropy what is their favorite Claude Van Damme movie. That question is now banned. Asking questions is free, so I'm no longer going to be reading out such a question on the show. You can ask me and my guest anything else except that. Ask me anything, but... thing is, I've got an update from Ben. Got to keep you looking. I think he's misspelt there. He's got to keep you looking shit. I think that's a misspelt there, because that doesn't make sense there. Sense there, Ben. But thanks anyway, mate, for the tip there. And if you're a regular watcher of the Uncuckables, I'm not sure about. I haven't noticed it in Wilmsfront. We are getting a lot of leftist trolls in the chat who are making a special effort to downvote episodes of the Uncuckables and Wilmsfront on YouTube, which, well, it hasn't affected the reach of this show because we already know that YouTube makes it very difficult for Wilmsfront or the Uncuckables or any other Unshackled production to reach a wider audience in the recommended videos section. So can everyone who's watching in the chat tonight please make a special effort to give a thumbs up to this video and all the other shows, and also leave a comment below. We have a very active live chat. Please leave a comment on the live replay video in the comment section, because that also helps helps this video in the algorithm wars as well. I don't care much for the trolls. They can downvote the video if they like, but simply in response, I just ask our the viewers of this program to give a thumbs up as well. That's all I say as well. And of course, not only can you support the production of this show through those free methods, you can, or Entropy has the super chat function. You can always take out a membership of the Unshackled at theunshackled.net/membership, or a one-off donation, theunshackled.net/donate. And of course, I mentioned the Uncuckables, 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night on the Uncuckables YouTube and DLive, and also rounding out the week is Trad Tasman Talk, 6 p.m. Melbourne time on the Unshackled's YouTube channel. And Dusty Bogan, I will reward your advice, Thirsty Thursday on your YouTube channel. Dusty Bogan, you can hear me now. What time is it? Is it 6:30 at the moment? What time will people need to tune in? And of course, the James Hoxigan Show every weekday, 1 p.m. Sydney time. And of course, after the Uncuckables on Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Sydney time, it is the Patriarch Hour with him and Noah Previ, who will be my guest on the next week's Monday edition of Wilms Front. I'm very much looking forward to chatting with him so he can define the patriarchy, and also how I would say man, not a modern man or a trad man, how a man needs to act and behave and act around women to find a mate and all of that healthy male activity. So I certainly am looking forward to chatting with him about that. Dusty Bogan says 6 p.m. Brisbane time, which is the same Melbourne time at the moment. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your company. I will see you next show.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilmsfront. Visit timwilms.com or Rational Rise TV to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows. And to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.